ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The best design? You never notice it. The kettle, the beanbag, the umbrella, they look the way they do because someone somewhere made a decision and that decision stuck. What does that say about them? And what does it say about us? The objects all around you have a story. Hear them on By Design with me, Anthony Burke. Search By Design on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are nearly a billion trees on the island of Taiwan. Its steep mountain ranges are covered in forests, and in some areas, the trees grow as tall as a 20-story building. Tucked into a valley in the north, one fir tree in particular is the tallest of them all. In fact, it's the tallest tree that we know of in East Asia. How do we know this? And why should we care? Today I'm talking to a scientist who can answer these questions because she did the maths. This is Lab Notes from ABC Radio National. I'm Jonathan Webb and I'm joined by Rebecca Xu from the Forestry Research Institute of Taiwan. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, Jonathan.
Now, when we climb trees as children, lots of us treasure those memories, and in particular this sense you get of suddenly seeing the world differently. It looks a bit different when you're at the top of a tree. What's it like when you're at the top of one of these giant trees?
It's very peaceful environment when you hang on there. I feel very grateful that this grateful tree led me to climb it.
I can imagine that sense of gratitude because they're such huge organisms, these trees. Where did this idea come from? What made you interested in finding the largest tree in Taiwan?
It began about 12 years ago. I began to climb big trees together with my friend, hike to that tree. And when we reached the canopy, he wanted to climb the tallest tree in Taiwan. And for me, a scientist, I begin to think about how can we do this. And at that time, I don't know it will last more than 10 years.
So it started as a conversation on a trip.
Yeah, just friend chat on the tree.
So tell me a little bit about this biggest tree in Taiwan that you found.
The tallest tree we found, we named it Heaven's Oak. The lowest branch is 50 meters. Top.
So the trunk just goes straight up for the first 50 meters. And what does it look like from that point? How does it appear?
Trees reach this size that never have a lot of branches, but all of the branches is like a small tree. So it's very thick. This tree doesn't look very old. It's very healthy. And when we visit in last March, this tree is turned orangey because female flowers are orangey. It's very colorful. It's an amazing tree. And I can see many orchids growing on the trees, like a thick carpet, and a flying squirrel they laying down the orchid mat.
How amazing. And if it's 84.1 meters tall, do we know how long it's been there?
At least 1,000 years old.
Wow. Now, you've been working on this for more than 10 years. How did you start looking for this tallest tree?
So we just interviewed some elder foresters to ask where they saw big trees. And we hiked there to measure them. But I found it's not efficient enough because there were so many trees.
You decided to use LiDAR to try and get a sort of 3D scan of where all the tall trees were and how tall they were.
It actually takes 6 years to survey whole islands.
Wow.
In the middle of our project, we have some LiDAR experts join, and they produce this 3D tree shape. I remember it's over 50,000 images. And after around 5 years, we figure out that the mismeasurement of the tree height is over 90%.
Right. So when you actually go into the forest, you go up to this tree that's been measured by the LiDAR system, you find out
it's a cliff.
It's a short tree on a cliff instead of a really tall tree.
Yeah. We cannot examine them by ourselves because researchers are few. So we put them on a web and teach volunteers how to identify their height.
So you had volunteers, citizen scientists coming on and analysing these thousands of 3D tree images. How many volunteers did you have and how long did it take for them to get through all the data?
It's around 400 volunteers and we plan to finish this project within a year, but surprisingly it's finished within 1 month.
Wow.
I think it saved us at least 5 years' work, yeah.
What a valuable month's work from your volunteers.
Yeah.
What came next? You then had, I guess, a smaller group of trees that you thought may well be the tallest. What was the next step?
So I have a checklist of the promising target tall trees, and I have to make a hiking plan to reach those trees.
How long did it take to get to the one that turned out to be the tallest tree?
It's the third day we saw that tree. The fourth day we climb it. Most of the tree, we don't have the trail to that tree. So we have to bushwalk. I can only judge from the map. I complain with my friend that your map is not true. There's a gorge here, but you don't see the gorge in the map.
The map makes it look easier than it is on the ground. It must feel quite special to feel like you might be the first humans to have stood next to a tree like this.
Before we saw the tree, it's all imagination from the LiDAR.
Yeah. And how do you go about actually measuring it once you're there?
So we bring 50 meters rollers and we measure two or three times. When we get the real number, we're all very excited because it's breaking the record.
Do we know why these trees grow so big?
They all grow in similar elevation around 2000, which is a mountain cloud forest in Taiwan. And you know, for those trees, that if they simply absorb water from the root, it's very difficult because they are so tall. So in North America, for the redwood, they found redwood can absorb clouds water directly from the leaves.
Yeah, right.
And last year, we doing some experiment from Taiwanese seedling. We found that they do the same thing, they can absorb water from the leaves. And I want to check if big trees do that as well.
And why is it important to study these big trees and to know exactly how big they are?
Actually, these big trees, they all grow in a very old growth forest. And we are lucky that we in Taiwan, we still have a massive area of old growth forest. And 2 years ago, we did a carbon density measurement in one giant tree's valley.
Okay.
And we found that carbon density of the forest is amazing. Yeah, it's similar, actually similar with Victoria's.
With the big mountain ash trees in Victoria, right?
And it's the highest carbon density forest. And we have similar carbon density forest. So I think this giant tree's contribution, even from this carbon density aspect, nothing can compare with it. Yeah, you cannot make a forest like this. Yeah, they are just significant.
Significant is the word, and it's taken them 1,000 years to get to that size. And being so big, I'm guessing these trees are probably more vulnerable to climate change than the much more common smaller ones.
Yeah, we also have reduced cloud because global warming. I also found some mountain cloud species, they reduce the population because of reduced clouds. Before, I think it should be slower, but now I found it's... Yeah, the speed is beyond my imagination.
And tell me about the name. The Heaven Sword is what you and the team decided to call this record-breaking tree. Where did that idea come from?
It's Taiwanese joke because that tree is located near two peaks. These two peaks, they gave a name from a Hong Kong master of Kung Fu novel. And Heaven Sword is also the name from that Kung Fu novel. During the whole hiking period, we were discussing the novel stories and we talk all the time. So when we saw the tree, one of our net member, he said, oh, it could be Heaven Sword.
Reference to a Kung Fu novel. I didn't pick that. It's an excellent name for a very tall tree.
Thank you.
Rebecca, thank you so much for sharing your lab notes with me.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'm very excited to share with you.
That was Dr. Rebecca Xu, who's a field ecologist at the Forestry Research Institute of Taiwan. Her paper was published in Frontiers in Forests and Global Change. You can also read about this amazing tree in an article on the ABC News website by LabNotes producer Amy Briggs. We'll put both those links on our website. This episode of LabNotes was made by Amy Briggs and myself on Gadigal and Ngunnawal and Ngambri country. I'm Jonathan Webb, and I'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.